But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them.
We are looking, as you know, in the evening services at the Lord's Prayer. And tonight we are looking at that fifth petition. The petition which says, forgive us our sins as we also forgive others. And I want to acknowledge that in what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 12. But I also want us to look at it in a context of the lesson that Lynn read to us in 1 John 1 from 5 to 10. If we're looking at that phrase, forgive us our sins as we also forgive others, as a petition, the fifth petition, it's perhaps important if we just stop and ask ourselves, what do we mean by a petition? Now, if you look at petition in a biblical Bible dictionary, as I did fairly recently, I looked up petition, and it just said, see prayer, which was very helpful. So I went to prayer, and it said next to prayer, petition, intercession, thanksgiving. The key elements of prayer. Well, prayer itself, as we know, means calling upon the name of the Lord. In prayer, that's what we do. We call upon the name of the Lord. And Christians are identified as those who call upon his name. Those who would seek guidance and direction or whatever it is that we need to talk to our God about. We call upon his name. That's prayer. We call upon his name to give praise and thanks, intercession, thanksgiving. But we can also petition. Now, the Greek word for petition comes from another Greek word, which is simply to ask. So if you look in certain other places, you'll find where it says petition, it simply says to ask. So when we are petitioning, we are asking God of something. And here we're asking God to forgive us our sins. Last week, we asked or petitioned for God to give us our daily bread. This week, the first part of the verse, we are asking God to forgive us our sins, but I'm suggesting tonight that it's a little stronger than simply asking. There is a plea in it. So I want to think in three terms tonight: petition, plea, and thirdly, promise, related to that verse, this verse that we're looking at it. I remember our lads, when they were younger, as all families do, come to you as parents asking for things. You know, kind of a sweet, kind of a bit of chocolate, usual requests that we get. But occasionally that asking turned into a kind of plea, because they got the impression that it needed a stronger advocate, as it were. Please, can I have these new trainers? These rather expensive new trainers. It was a plea. So we might think this petition in the Lord's Prayer is an important plea. I suggest that because it's the only part of the Lord's Prayer where Matthew continues giving us an account of Jesus explaining in more detail what this is all about, what this particular line in our Lord's Prayer is about. It's the only part he elaborates upon. As if to say, I need to make it absolutely clear what it is that we're saying when we say, forgive us our sins as we also forgive others. So this plea is an important aspect of the prayer. It's a plea to us on the assumption that it's part of a petition, a cry before God. And there are two basic assumptions in this petition. The first is the plea, which makes the assumption that we need to be forgiven. But we're not going to ask for forgiveness if we don't think we need to be forgiven. When I was brought up in the denomination which I was part of, their theology was in fact very similar to what might be termed Baptist theology. Similar in many ways, except it differed on what I thought were two key issues, that of infant baptism and on what was called entire sanctification. As a preacher in that denomination, I had to understand and acknowledge what was termed entire sanctification. And this was the recognition that the Holy Spirit could do such a work in the life of the believer to the point where they were, as it were, entirely sanctified. In other words, they were very difficult to sin. Now, I believe that it got to that particular point because perhaps their definition of sin wasn't quite what might be an everyday definition of sin. It was often something which was external. You know, some sins were not thought of as sins when you make a simple mistake, or there's an error, or there's some shortcomings in our lives. The sins that were really acknowledged were those external sins of theft, adultery, all the things that we see around us in daily life. But you see, that ignored Jesus' teaching on what he had to say about hate and what he had to say about lust as a sin. Jesus knew we would sin. We would continue sinning. So he modeled for us what is a perfect prayer. Forgive us our sins. And John in his letter reminds us of that fact and what Lynn read to us. And it follows on from what the passage we were looking actually last Sunday morning at. In John 1, where it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out a liar, and his word is not in us. I think that's pretty clear and pretty plain what John is saying. We sin and we continue to sin, and we need to ask for God's forgiveness. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's more, I believe, than, you know, a husband and wife after having an argument make up. And usually, often that's accompanied by a kiss. And the making up, there is a kiss. As someone once said, in the kiss that often follows the makeup, the wife gets the kiss and the husband gets the makeup. So we acknowledge that it's more than a simple act like that. We need daily forgiveness as much as we need daily bread. This is the first spiritual petition in the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer to be cleansed. Calvin put it this way: our sins are like a dividing wall which prevents God coming close to us, and like a cloud which stops his eyes from seeing us. And if we look at Lamentations, we find this verse linking what Calvin has just said. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud so that our prayer cannot pass through. This is a heartfelt, searching plea to God to forgive us our sins, and as some translations say, our debts, forgive us our debts, that which is owed. Some talk about falling short, the way we fall short of the glory of God, in Romans 3:23, as we just mentioned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we fall short of the glory of God, we've sinned. The glory of God being the character of God. And it's important to note, I think, that there is a plea here. It's also important to note it's not a prayer for salvation. It's not a sinner's prayer. We are saved by faith, and faith alone, nothing else. We're saved by faith. You might say this is the kind of prayer for a child of God to enjoy the fellowship of the Father and to inherit fully into his kingdom, for the ongoing fellowship and relationship with the Father. I want nothing, Father, to come between you and me. I want nothing in my life to hinder that fellowship. I want to have that fellowship in a deeper way. And I know that the thing that comes between you and me is my sin. To enjoy the ever-increasing fellowship with the Father. And it's also to keep us from being self-righteous. And in our self-righteousness, that's often the biggest danger in the life of the Christian. And it's often the hardest to see in our own lives. It's only when we have that, as it were, deepening understanding of God's word, knowing, for example, what fully the Ten Commandments are saying to us, we can see that we fall short of God's glory. and a greater sense of God's presence in our lives. The Holy Spirit doing a work in our lives, remodeling us, bringing to our understanding the things that we need to bring before God, to confess to Him, and to know that He will cleanse us from that, which is a hindrance in our relationship with Him. So the first part of this petition is a plea to say that we have sinned. The second part, I believe, is a promise. It's a promise that we'll do something. It's a promise that we will forgive others. Why, therefore, did Jesus, as recorded by Matthew, need to elaborate this one line in the prayer when he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." These are quite strong words, warnings to us of the importance of forgiveness. I enjoy reading Adrian Plass. You know, he's one of the Christian comics, as it were. And these writings are always, as it were, very amusing to read. And some of you may be Adrian Plass fans and read some of his books. Well, one of his books, he just lists definitions. And I always like to read what Adrian Plass defines as certain things. So his definition of forgiveness, Adrian Plass defines forgiveness as firstly something that, like most of the wonderful gifts of God, you are not allowed to receive unless you have already given it away. You're not allowed to receive unless you've already given it away. And as usually said, or secondly, an anagram of serving foes. You need to think about that one and work it out. It's an anagram of serving foes. Some of the characters give us some kind of indication as to what we're talking about. Some of you might be Andy Capp fans and have seen some of the cartoons that used to be around with Andy Capp. Well, you know, there's this one here, which is about love. But if we substitute the word for forgiveness instead of love, we end up pretty much of what was said in this Andy Capp particular caption. And I think I just about read the words, and I hope you can read them from where you are. You know, love or forgiveness, you don't know the meaning of the word, says Flo. To which Andy says, "Okay, let's hear your meaning of the word." And of course, there is a demonstration, as typical of Andy Capp. There is a demonstration by Flo, and who immediately says afterwards, "It's a word that more easily illustrated than defined. It's a word that's more easily illustrated than defined." We can find it difficult to define really what forgiveness is about. But we can certainly illustrate it by showing forgiveness. Don Carson, the well-known international speaker, says and writes, "There is no forgiveness for the one who does not forgive." But remember, it's not a prayer for salvation. We are saved by prayer alone. It's not a prayer for justification. We are justified in God's eyes. This is a prayer for continued fellowship with God. What we read earlier on. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We don't want that cloud between us and God. Our promise and our hope is total forgiveness from God, total forgiveness to everyone else, to one another. Total forgiveness. It's about 30 odd years ago now that I led a house group where we spent several weeks looking at the Lord's Prayer. And we were initially challenged to look at the Lord's Prayer because we were challenged by words of Jesus in the garden, where he said to his disciples, "Will you not tarry with me for 1 hour? Or can you not tarry with me for 1 hour?" You know, the disciples fell asleep when they were in the garden with Jesus, when Jesus was expecting them just to pray with them at that significant time in his life. "Can you not tarry with me for 1 hour?" So our particular house group at the time were challenged to pray for 1 hour. Now, I don't know how long you spend in time in prayer, but praying for 1 hour. But we discovered that when we looked at the Lord's Prayer, and when we prayed the Lord's Prayer in all its depth, hopefully in the way that we've been trying to elaborate over these Sunday evenings, we discovered we actually could pray for over 1 hour. Especially, for example, when we come to this particular line, because as we say that words, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others," we can begin in our own minds to think of the people that we need to go and to forgive. God reminds us by his Spirit the need that we need to talk to some people and say that we need to forgive them. Because that's happening all the time. It's part of our life. It's part of the life of the church. That we need to confess the many ways in which we need to forgive those who have hurt us. R.T. Kendall, well-known Bible teacher, says that his best-known sermon is entitled "Total Forgiveness." He apparently has preached it all over the world. On one occasion, he writes, he preached it to more than 5,000 people gathered together. And at the end, he made an appeal after the sermon. And he estimated that about 4,500 out of the 5 stood and came forward publicly admitting that they had not forgiven, but promised to do so. He goes on to say that he often preached that sermon on total forgiveness twice, or more than twice, often to the same congregation. And the interesting thing was, he said that as a result of that, the response was the same, often from the same people, because he acknowledged the fact that we need to keep on forgiving. We need to continue to forgive. Many of us struggle in this area. It's easy to slip up and repeat the same sin. That's why it's important, I believe, for us to repeat the Lord's Prayer regularly and to fully take on board, not in vain repetition, what we're actually saying when we say that prayer together. Some have suggested that what we've considered tonight is the greatest need in the life of the church today. The need to forgive. And if we took this line seriously, it might make a very big difference, not only to us personally, but also in the corporate life of the church. And we're going to go into communion now, where we acknowledge our need to come before the Lord and to what He has done for us, and to look at what Scripture reminds us about that. Let's just pray together before we come into communion. Father God, we acknowledge the fact that so often we fall far short of Your glory. There is much within our lives where we need to turn to You and to ask for Your forgiveness, and to acknowledge the fact that we need to forgive others. Sometimes it's something that's happened recently. Sometimes it's something that's happened many years ago, where we still need to forgive. We just ask, Holy Spirit, that You would enable us and strengthen us to be able to acknowledge our sin before You and to seek Your forgiveness and be ready and willing to forgive us our sins, and our promise that we will indeed forgive others. Amen.